Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your spoken word spoke light into existence, shine your light onto your holy and inspired scripture so that we might hear and see with clarity the meaning of this passage. In the name of your Son, the light of the world, we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. This morning I'll be reading from the late Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road, God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized the booty. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. It's true, is it not, that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth. And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostles, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love. Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love that song that they just played because it speaks to how I know and love the church. How beautiful is the body of Christ. There is something about the body of Christ, the church. When the church is the church, nothing can take its place. It really can't. As they were playing, I had a flashback. How the church has influenced my life in ways that I will never be able to pay it back. Every meaningful event of my life has been surrounded by the church. And I am so grateful for it. I had this sermon all planned. It was really pretty easily written, but it didn't come together. I started trying to preach it here this morning about 5 o'clock. And it really didn't come together. It really didn't. And then I hear that song. And what I came to understand and realize is the church is beautiful. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the church at Ephesus. When the church isn't the church, it's not very beautiful. I won't take a rabbit trail for a moment. How many of y'all been watching the Olympics? Been trying to figure out how to watch the Olympics. You can watch it on a number of different platforms. I learned that you can watch it on the Golf Channel. I learned that you can watch it on USA. I learned that you can watch some snippets on Peacock. I can know that you can watch it on NBC, right? I know going into the Olympics, there is a lot of hype about various teams that we have, right? The women's gymnastics team is one of those. There was a lot of hype, wasn't it? Still is, I guess. It made me wonder, is there a men's gymnastics team? I kind of wonder because it wasn't as much noise. And then in the middle of the women's, Simone Biles does what she did, right? Now, I don't know a lot about gymnastics. I took tumbling in college, and there were things that lady was asking me to do. I couldn't do it with somebody else's body. And to think that what she's trying to do, pretty hard. At one point in my life as a child, I could dive pretty good considering we had just invented the springboard. But I know this about diving, that if you don't know where you are, you will hit the water in some ways that will hurt you. You will hit a diving board that will hurt you. So when Simone Biles says what she says, and she stops or quits or whatever and steps away, I then began to hear, like you have, people who either are on her side and understand what she's going through, or people who think she is a loser or a quitter, right? I've heard a bunch of people. This so-called friend of mine who is a Christian thinks she's a loser and a quitter. And then I started laughing because he is a professing Christian and a member of a former church of mine who stood down in front of the church and said, I promise to support the church with my prayers, present service, gifts, and witness. He calls her a loser. And yet one time he was asked in a Sunday school class where I was sitting if he would open the class in prayer. He had been a professing Christian for over 40 years. And he said, I can't do that. I have known members who've been asked to read 5 verses of scripture from a pulpit amongst people who love them. No, I can't. So when this guy who could not pray in front of 10 of his friends said that she was a loser, I had to think, well, what is he? What are we criticizing Simone Biles for when we haven't grown past breast milk in our spiritual faith? How can the church be the church if we're still at our mother's breast? How can the church be that beautiful thing that song was written about if we are still, the body of Christ is still crawling around or sitting on our hands, as Paul wrote? So that's where I started today. And then I had to start remembering what the people of Ephesus were dealing with. Paul's letters are written to specific people dealing with specific problems in a specific time. Context matters. And so he writes a letter to people who are first century Christians who are in trouble. Some were Jewish Christians, and their families were saying to them, you need to deny this Christ guy. You need to forget that. If you don't give up on talking in synagogue about this Jesus, you're not going to be welcome. Not only are you not welcome in the synagogue, you're not welcome around here. You will not be allowed to come to our house for Passover or anything else. When we have the fish fry, you're not invited. You are dead to us. Give up on this Christ guy. Gentile Christians were also considered losers. It's not just the words. There are threats, and there is also death. And so in the midst of this time, they were looking like they were going to desert the church. And Paul is saying, don't give up on the church. Please don't give up on the church. The church is important. It's important to us. It's important to the world. In Ephesus, in the book of Ephesians, we learn that it is part of God's plan for the redemption of the world. And there is no plan B. He uses high and lofty words, and he uses it in such a way for us to understand the importance of the body of Christ being the body of Christ, of loving one another and loving God and loving the world. Because there are people who are not in this body who hurt and need Jesus, and it's up to you. It's up to us. And just like then and today, we have people who do their own thing, their own way. Their Christianity and their relationship with God is an individual thing, a personal thing, a private thing. And they don't need the body of Christ to help them in their spirituality. And their spirituality looks as if they have no one looking after them or helping them or teaching them. And they have not allowed themselves to be taught. And so we do things as Christians, just as they did because of persecution and was staying away. We do it for other reasons because of any other interest we might have. There was a time in our life, my life, and we would think of an active member of a local congregation would be somebody who, over a period of, say, 12 weeks, probably was at church 9 to 12 times. Their lack of attendance would not be the norm. If they didn't show up at church, it was because something happened. But today, prior to COVID, for us, we think people are active if they attend or worship once a month. And now, after COVID, it might be that if somebody shows up once every 7 weeks, 6 weeks, we might consider that active. We have people who for 17 months have not attended worship. Now, I know that we're in another time of COVID. We are trying to do everything we can to stay safe. I understand that. But some people have not had contact with a number member of this church in 17 months. How beautiful is the body of Christ? How beautiful is the body of Christ to us? How beautiful is it to them? And so we struggle. Paul writes, "You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated in oneness." And all we see is division. How one are we as the body of Christ? That's a scary thought. If we're not one, if it's not important, if it's not important to us and it's not important to those who we have not seen in 17 months, how important or relevant are we to the people in our community? That's a struggling and troubling thing, isn't it? How do we, as the body of Christ, become beautiful again? How do we do that? We need to begin using our gifts, our graces, those things that have been given to us that differentiate us from each other, and use them in a way so that we not only care for one another, but we care for those who are out. my thought about the person who kept going off and exploding about Simone Biles, and I'm thinking, what message is that saying for us as Christians who are supposed to be people who are compassionate, caring, forgiving, graceful, gracious? Where is the empathy? Are we so independent that we have forgotten how to care for one another, to love one another? How beautiful is the body of Christ today in this place, in the places around here? Are we so afraid of everything that we've forgotten to care for one another, to be beautiful, to grow? See, those are the questions that I'm struggling with today, that we as a church are struggling with. How do we stay relevant? How do we be beautiful to a world who is dying and not knowing Christ, who've never had the opportunity to experience the beauty of the body of Christ in their life? I don't know what you're struggling with, but that's what I'm struggling with today. How can we become beautiful again? Not only to each other, but to the world. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that we will one day become beautiful again, that we will be a thing that matters, that we begin to matter to each other, and we will know that we matter to each other because we need those who are not here as much as they need us. And Lord, we know that in any given day, there is enough hurt going around that we need someone to sing praises to you because we cannot sing the praises. And there are days that we can sing when others can't sing. There are some days that we hurt so bad we can't walk and we need people to help us walk. May we be that for other people, and may other people be that for us. And when we grieve, may we all grieve together. And when we rejoice, may we all rejoice together. And in the rejoicing and the grieving and in the living of life, in the oneness of who we are in you, may we become new creatures again. And may the beauty of the body of Christ be known, not only in us, but also outside of us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.